And so I want to give you some context about the city of Philippi, which is where this reading was. It was a letter sent to the people of Philippi who were starting the church there, and it's a letter by Paul. And a Bible study by Bob Diffenbaugh describes Paul's attitude in this passage. He said, "Paul is never more upbeat, never more joyful and triumphant than he is in the letter to the Philippians." But Paul is not writing from the penthouse of a fancy hotel. He is writing from a prison cell. Paul is waiting for his trial in Rome, and his future is uncertain. He may even face execution. Yet this is what he writes to his friends in a letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Listen now for the word of God. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things and keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. And the God of peace will be with you." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Now, this is one of my very favorite passages in the whole Bible. And to think it was written from prison by Paul, who thought he might be executed very soon. That is a great lesson for each of us. Trust in and praise God, no matter how bad the circumstances may be. Now, Paul's first journey to Philippi is described in Acts 16. And his first convert in Philippi was a wealthy woman who made purple cloth. Her name was Lydia. And without Lydia generously supporting Paul's ministry, there would have been no church in Philippi, and Paul probably would not have been able to continue on his missionary journeys so well. Lydia is a great example of a generous Christian, and the church that she helped develop in Philippi was identified thereafter as a church that Paul encouraged other new churches to imitate for success. Now, this is a map of Paul's journeys, and you can see how far and wide he traveled if you follow all the different colored lines. The extent of his missionary journeys is really miraculous, considering how difficult travel was in those days. And you can see on the top of the map, right under Macedonia and Thrace, is Philippi. And that's still in the country of Greece today. And then you travel down, it would be to the right side of it when you're looking at it, and you see the churches that are in Turkey that I was able to visit a few years ago that are mentioned in Revelation. And those all the way go down to Ephesus. But then he kept going all the way to Judea so that he could visit Damascus and Jerusalem and then back up. And then all the way around, he went all the way to Italy, which is an amazing thing that Paul was able to travel so far. And so that shows his resilience and his determination to spread the message of Jesus Christ and the gospel to all the people. Now, this command in Philippians 4 from Paul, to not worry or have any anxiety about anything, but instead to humbly pray, it's a perfect foundation for celebrating the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday. I have already heard people worrying about the traffic or worrying about family bickering, or the hassle it is to shop for food when the grocery stores are so full, or other anticipated worries and problems. Paul reminds us that God would want us to enjoy the opportunity to praise whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, commendable, and generally pleasing to God. We are to focus our minds on these things, the things that are praiseworthy. And that is what Thanksgiving is all about, Charlie Brown. Being thankful. Now, do you remember the name of the woman, though, that's responsible for influencing Abraham Lincoln to make Thanksgiving a national holiday? Anyone know this woman's name? We should all know her. It was Sarah Hale. And Sarah Hale is now known as the mother of Thanksgiving. Sarah Hale. After the death of her husband in 1822, Sarah turned to writing to support herself and her five children. Hale authored many books and hundreds of poems, including the best known nursery rhyme in the English language. Do you know which one that is? The best known nursery rhyme. Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. She came up with that, among many other nursery rhymes. Since the beginning of the 1840s, Sarah wrote to five U.S. presidents and campaigned for over 20 years to make Thanksgiving a national holiday. Finally, in 1863, Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation making it official. But Sarah wasn't done. Since she had become the creator and editor of the Ladies' Journal, was the name of the magazine, she used her popular magazine to promote recipes and other ways to celebrate Thanksgiving. Her ideas are still practiced today. For example, it was Sarah Hale who came up with the idea of having turkey be the main dish at Thanksgiving and pumpkin pie for dessert. You know, neither of those were probably served at the first Thanksgiving. The first Thanksgiving, it was venison. The Native Americans went out, you know, and caught five deer and brought them for Thanksgiving. And they didn't have sugar at the first Thanksgiving because they had run out of it. And so they probably did not have pumpkin pie like we have it. But they could have maybe cooked pumpkin. Sarah Hale was a resilient and persistent woman of substance for her time, who worked as a teacher, a magazine editor, an author, and a believer in equal education for both genders. In the days when women did not engage in work outside the home or in physical education, she promoted both, saying, "Physical health and its attendant cheerfulness promotes a happy tone of moral feeling, and they are quite indispensable to successful intellectual effort." Isn't that quite a sentence? Yeah. So physical education and the mental education too, both of those she really promoted. Now, cherishing Thanksgiving and promoting mental and physical education may be the reason Sarah was so successful in her own life. She lived to 91 years, in a time when the average lifespan was 45. She lived longer than twice the average lifespan in those days. So Thanksgiving and lifelong learning are proven to lengthen your quality and quantity of life still today. Now, how much time are you focusing on praiseworthy things these days? Does it feel hard to follow Paul's instructions to the Philippians and focus your thoughts on what is worthy of praise? Well, let's focus together for a while. What are you thankful for? You can shout out any ideas. Family? Say it louder. Good friends? Church? That's a good one. Health.
Music.
Love. What was that?
Children.
Yes. Pets. Yep. All the important things. Notice no one said a cool car or lots of money or a big house. You know, those are not what we think of first. What we think of first are the people in our lives, the relationships, the things that make us joyful. Well, I'm thankful for Santa Rosa, so that's why I titled this sermon that. At a time when people are considering moving away because of the threat of more power outages and wildfire threats, there is still so much to be thankful for living here in this most beautiful part of the United States. We are surrounded with people who are here from all over the world here in Santa Rosa, coming together to worship God. In other parts of the world today, Christians are experiencing persecution and major fear for their lives. In Detroit, though, for instance, and Australia, there are major problems with the pollution of the air and of their waters. And today we are spared here in Santa Rosa. In other parts of the world, there's ongoing fighting and bombs going off all around the people, like in the eastern border of Ukraine, in Afghanistan, and in Syria. But today we are spared of all that. If you have food to eat for Thanksgiving, you are blessed. A report from the Food Research and Action Center stated that the national food hardship rate for all households increased from 15.1% in 2016 to 15.7% in 2017. So it's going in the wrong direction. Two of the top 10 worst cities in the U.S. for the number of families experiencing food hardships are in California. Of all the cities in the United States, two of them are here in California. Fresno and Bakersfield top the list. So we can praise God for food and do more to alleviate hunger here in our own state if we try. They're up to almost 25% of the people living there are experiencing food hardships. So may you receive the grace and blessing that you see on the front of the bulletin from one of my favorite authors. I hope it inspires you and the way you praise things on this Thanksgiving and always. And you can use this if you're looking for a grace to say at a meal. But I like the way John O'Donohue focuses on minute details of things to be grateful for. And I did have a video on giving thanks that helps to keep our troubles in perspective. But I think you all are really good at that. And so what your job, I think, will be this Thanksgiving is to help others keep in perspective how many blessings that they may have that they're just not remembering to praise God for. Like our children, they were so good today at showing all the little things to be thankful for, and often it's our children that teach us what to remember. So let's all remember to give thanks. Amen.